So good day, everyone, and welcome to Briefs Our Blue Bahamas podcast, where we talk about issues related to the conservation of our Bahamian environment that sustains our way of life. I'm your host, Crystal, here today with Heather and Jasmine. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having us, Crystal.
And today we are discussing blue tourism, the Bahamas leading the way in sustainable travel, and with our very special guest, Vernon Weish from the Ministry of Tourism. Hello, Vernon. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So my name is Vernon Weish. I represent the Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviation Sustainability Department. So my department is project-driven, and we focus on the SDGs. So our SDGs are SDG 8, Decent Work, 12, Responsible Consumption, also number 13. 13 is Climate Action, also known as Climate Change, 14, Life Below Water, 17, Partnerships. But we focus on all the SDGs, but that's just some of our main focus for our project-driven department.
Okay, that's great. Awesome stuff. So, Vernon, we're going to talk a little bit about sustainable tourism in the Bahamas and how the country is protecting its natural appeal, right? We know there are so many visitors that come to the Bahamas every single year, around 2.30. In 2021 alone, the Bahamas generated around $2.33 billion in the tourism sector alone. So tourism is a very big deal. It is the top industry in the country as well. And so when we talk about sustainability, tourism has to be a part of the conversation, right? And so since we're talking about the protecting the country's natural appeal, and there is a focus in the Ministry of Tourism, in your department, Vernon, on sustainability, how has the Bahamas cultivated this reputation as a sustainable tourism destination?
So in many years, you know, the term sustainability was thrown around. It's very awareness. A lot of persons heard of the word sustainability, also climate change, global warming. So it became a buzzword. So sustainability, most people associate it with environmental. So it's not only environmental factor. You get social, you get economic, and you get the environment. So it entails a range of principles that need to be considered. So the definition of sustainability is meeting the need of the present generation without compromising for the future generation. So simply put, for layman's term, is that what we have today must be protected for future generation, like the nice cuisine that we eat, like the authentic dishes, Kong salad, the pristine beaches, the flora and the fauna must be protected for your children still enjoy what you enjoy. Mm-hmm. So referring back to your question, so the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism and Investigation, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Investment, and Aviation has taken a proactive approach in promoting sustainable tourism products available in the destination. To clarify that, my department concentrate on aspect of sustainable tourism, mainly community-based sustainable tourism, CBT. So the Caribbean Tourism Organization describes the Caribbean Tourism Organization described community-based tourism as a way for local communities to own a piece of the tourism product, benefiting the community socially and also economically, whilst preserving the natural and cultural natural culture resources and enhancing visitors' experience. For example, our two flagship program that focus on community-based tourism is the Andres Cluster Project, also known as the Andres Ecotourism Collective. I'll talk about that later on the podcast, and also the Destination Starship Council.
Okay, thank you so much for that. That is really interesting. I really like how you brought up the part of, you know, having these sustainable tourism, right? Because it is an industry that a lot of money goes into and that we use to generate a lot of money for the country. And we spoke about having everything, all these native dishes, all these cultural aspects that are tied to our natural environment for future generations. And that leads into my next question with Vernon. And I also want Heather to weigh in on this as well. But what are some popular ecotourism activities for visitors who want to experience the natural beauty of the Bahamas? We know the beauty of the Bahamas, that's like been the selling point for many, many years, exactly. The sun, sand, and sea, right? Yes. So that's been there for many years. But what are some actual activities that tourists who come can participate in when they come to the Bahamas?
So for me, mainly a lot of persons do not know, and I will say it, in my opinion, Antrus is the sustainable tourism capital of the Bahamas. So the Bahamas have very beautiful flora and fauna over its cross 100,000 square miles of the most beautiful, clearest ocean in the world. So some activities that persons may not know are very big within the tourism industry, making millions upon millions of dollars, are flat fishing, nature tour guides, and bird watching. Bird watching, you may think it's just simple, but persons fly in for a day just to capture these photographs of these special birds, like the Bahama Oriole, is very unique to the Bahamas. And also soft activities, the person is not into that fly fishing or bird watching, they get soft activity like kayaking, snorkeling, and diving.
Okay, so explain to us flat fishing, because I know you're saying it, a lot of people don't really understand exactly what flat fishing is. Is it like more of a recreational activity? Maybe Jasmine or Heather may want to weigh in on this as well. But flat fishing I kept hearing the term over and over again, and it sounds like, you know, it's not very self-explanatory. Yeah.
So flat fishing is also interchangeable with different terms like bone fishing, fly fishing. So flat fishing is simply like catch and release. It's more with angler. We have a program with the BAMSI, Bahamas Agriculture Marine Science Institution, where they train persons to be fly fishing guides. And also teach them about the sustainability aspect of this industry, because persons, like, flat fishing is to a very unique tourist market. Persons, maybe some older generation, persons, recreational visitors from the United States, when it's cold in the United States, they come down to the Bahamas to seek the top two sports in the U.S., I would say, is fishing and hunting. So when they can't do fishing in the winter, they come to the Bahamas. So fly fishing is just a unique way of catch and release in shallow waters that's no more than 10 feet. So it's go a little bit more deeper, but just a little introduction into fly fishing a little bit.
So it's more of like a recreational
sport. And a very high-end recreational sport.
Yes, because I remember I've seen some lodges when I was over in Andres. They actually have lodges where people come every single year in large groups of people come to do especially bonefish, right? So that's a huge thing. Also, ecotourism. Heather, I want you to talk a little bit about the coral reef sculpture garden at Clifton that Brief has. I know this year Brief is celebrating 10 years. Talk about how that has also impacted tourism.
Yeah. So those who may not be familiar with our coral reef sculpture garden, Brief has the Brief Sir Nicholas Nuttall Coral Reef Sculpture Garden and Nursery located off the shore at Clifton Heritage National Park. And we like to say that it acts as an underwater classroom, but it really is a site that brings together people from different aspects, different passions and career paths, and really brings them together for one common goal of appreciating our oceans. So at that site, we have the largest underwater sculpture in the world, Ocean Atlas, standing at around 16 feet, weighing 60 tons. We also have Virtuoso Man, who is another sculpture there, who represents the older generation, passing the torch of conservation to the younger generation. And then we have Ocean Atlas representing the younger generation, who's holding up the weight of the oceans and really fighting for our conservation. So we like to say that symbolism really entices people who are interested into sculptures or artists visiting the Bahamas, or if you're interested in ecotourism and would like to explore the reefs in that area. We have our coral nursery in that area where we currently have two coral trees. Right now we are growing a special species of staghorn coral, which we're really excited to see how it does once the waters cool down and we outplant them, which is positioning them so we fragment them off of our trees, kind of like pruning a tree in your yard, and we transport them underwater to a nearby reef in that same site called Nari Nari. And so that way it's a place where people who are flying in for ecotourism can come and appreciate the reef rescue or reef restoration efforts. It brings in young people learning about education and educating them about the marine environment, class groups, a lot of professional development or corporate social responsibility events happen out there, really giving back to your environment as a whole company. And then lastly, we also have the artists or the free divers who love to free dive off of Ocean Atlas. So it really is a place that brings in people from every different crowd and really brings them together for the common goal of learning about our sun, sand, and sea.
Mm, and that's very well said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. To touch on that, like when persons think about sustainability, you need the fact in waste management. Because I went to a few countries where, who want to go to a country where it's not aesthetically pleasing to the eyes, where waste is all over the place. I went to a Caribbean country, won't call a name, where the sea is full with trash. Who want to really go in those seas with trash? So when those stuff start happening, you start to lose the appeal of the destination and people start to go elsewhere. So we need to focus on sustainability and also how we manage our waste in like the 3 R's, reuse, reduce, and recycle, because that is the part of keeping our destination clean.
For sure. I love that you said that, Vernon. And there is also the impact of ecotourism on local economies and conservation efforts that we're going to touch on as well today. How does the Ministry of Tourism encourage sustainable practices within the tourism industry? You spoke about a few earlier, but I just want to kind of like give you a period of time to kind of flesh them out so that we're aware of what the ministry is doing. And other people who may be listening and our listening audience may want to find ways that they can get engaged and be active citizens in helping us to help you with these efforts at the Ministry of Tourism.
So at the moment, like the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism Investment Asian, and also the Bahamas Agriculture Marine Science, known as BAMSI, we enter a partnership development to develop certification programs for nature tour guides. The purpose of these programs are to prepare participants for career future in nature tour guides and tour operating in the tourism industry. So this program is aimed to educate participants on the concept of sustainability. It's significantly important for the destination to understand various practices that industry leaders must follow. So the program also promotes the 17 SDGs goals and the 3 pillars, the social, environmental, and the economic benefits. So that is just one of the practices that the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism is doing. Like, we have a national training program that's offered with BAMSI and the Ministry of Tourism to promote nature tour guides and to help them understand the industry.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the second time you mentioned SDGs. And I kind of want you to explain what SDGs are. We've spoken about SDGs before on the show, but I want you to tell us what our listeners, what SDGs are and why they are important for the Bahamas.
So the SDGs, it's called Sustainable Development Goal. It started from 2015 to 2030. These are what I call guideline goals to let us meet our targets. So in Paris of 2015, they set a goal that to keep the temperature at 1.5, preferably not above 2% Celsius, to prevent stuff from happening, sea level rising, global warming, those different types of stuff. The SDGs, if you look at it, it put persons, people, education, the environment, and other aspects first. So the SDGs goal is what I would call the Bible for the world.
it is the Bible for the world. And so for the Ministry of Tourism, you mentioned that you did embrace six SDGs in particular.
Yes.
And that's the life below water, climate action, quality education, life on land, responsible consumption and production, decent work, and economic growth as well. So tell us a little bit about this life below water, because that everything else is pretty much self-explanatory, but that one is a little bit unclear.
So life below water is the blue economy. So the blue economy is, I can't give a figure, but I show it's like $1 billion. But the Bahamas having 100,000 square miles of one of the most pristine ocean in the world. You got to think about the thriving marine, like the fishery, the exploitation of fisheries, the conch. And like I talk about the flat fishing, the guys that come to the Bahamas just to participate in these type of sports, and the cruise ships that have to pass through our waters, bringing passengers in the country to experience our product. So the life below water is a big component, not just to the Bahamas, but to the world, because like recently they said and they found like the Bahamas had the largest seagrass bed. So it absorbed a lot of CO2 out the atmosphere that helped combat or help fight climate change. So life below water is a important lifeline for the Bahamas, especially being an island state, surviving off not just tourism, but our marine and our agriculture sector. So keeping that protected, and especially like how you said earlier in your podcast, like the Bahamas thrive on its natural beaches and sun. And yeah, life below water is a big component.
Yeah.
And what I like what you said earlier is that, you know, that you're training these nature guides. And I feel like we forget the inclusion aspect of it, because now we have, you know, we live in the capital where we have more development, but it now gives an opportunity for the family islands to be more active within the sustainable tourism sector. And, you know, that, and that helps with decent work and economic growth and all those goals, which you would have mentioned earlier. And, you know, and I think that's so important, you know, when the community has a we like to say a piece of the pie.
Yes, and to touch on what Jasmine was saying, like those nature talks. So flat fishing is only exclusive to Bahamians. Foreigners can't really get, they could open up a lodge, but they can't participate in being a niche of flat, a flat fishing guy. So it make it niche and just only protected for the Bahamian society.
Okay, interesting.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. I don't know. I don't want to say that. That's what I was like. Maybe they'll do with diving, because we have a lot of dive boats as well that comes in into the Bahamas, and they're doing guides and they're doing tours, and you know, they may not be fully, you know, knowledgeable about the Bahamian fisheries and Bahamian waters, because we do have a lot of unique organisms here, right? Like unique creatures, like you said, the Bahama Oriole.
Which is endemic, Yeah. And so that means it's only found on Andros Island.
So. And that is amazing.
Yes.
Because we don't think about the fact that the Bahamas has so much precious creatures and uniqueness, right? And it's a part of the charm and the beauty of the Bahamas and our islands. There are things here that you won't find anywhere else.
Yes.
So I love that so much. There's also, talking about the practices, the sustainable practices in tourism, Vernon, tell us a little bit about the Andros Ecotourism Collective.
So before it was the Andros Tourism Eco Collective, it was the Andros Cluster Project. So that project is a community-based project that's focused on decent work, SDG 8. So a little bit of background with that project. In 2017, the Inter-American Development Bank and the Caribbean Development Bank and the governments of the UK and Canada create a funding program called Compete Caribbean Facility. So this program is aimed to promote inclusive and sustainable economic growth by enhancing competitiveness and innovated in the private sector of 13 Caribbean countries, which include different countries such as Antigua and Barbuda, the Bahamas, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, and other Caribbean countries. But in 2020, a little bit before the pandemic would start, so the Compete Caribbean Facility started a project to improve the tourism and outreach tourism in the Caribbean using a special toolkit within the Caribbean, using a special toolkit created by CTO, which is Caribbean Tourism Organization, to promote sustainable development. and they sent up a proposal to the different Caribbean countries. So which was what's so unique with that project is that our department brainstormed which island we could have figured to put this project on. Mm-hmm. So Andres came to mind because Andres had all the check mark, had all the ticks. So out of 55 projects submitted, mm-hmm. only three were selected, and the Bahamas was selected at one, receiving a technical grant. Receiving a technical grant for $300,000 to help develop this community-based project. And the other two countries was Belize and Dominica, to strengthen their tourism. So the Andres cluster project was guided by a clear vision as a successful all-round community and nature tour tourism destination. And it was based on the Bahamas government vision 2020 developed for Andres. So why Andres? The reason why Andres was selected because it revealed that travelers mainly traveled to Andres to participate in flat fishing or fly fishing, some would call it, bird watching. And data shows that that market of flat fishing and bird watching, so flat fishing are estimated $130 million in revenue, whilst bird watching estimated $45 million in revenue.
What?
So both markets.
Hold on, Vernon. We need a second bit in that because that just blew me away. What?
Yes. So
that's how much money we're making from these. Oh my goodness.
And you know,
okay, we have to protect these environments at all costs.
Exactly.
Protect Andres, okay, guys? We're protecting
at all costs.
Andres. We're not, we have sustainable development only for Andres from now on because, oh my gosh, that is so much money for the country.
And I don't know if you guys saw, it's a video, one of the nature tour guides, one of the top nature tour guides, he promoted on his social media where you saw a flock of wild flamingo flying. It was so beautiful off the coast of Andres.
We need to look that one up, and when we find that, we're gonna share that on our social media pages. You can follow us on social media at Brief242, everyone. BREEF242 on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Okay, thank you, Vernon, for that.
If
awesome.
Current persons want to visit it, so they could go to www.theandresecotourismcollective.com to see the project.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. So everyone, I know I'm going to look it up when I get home. So everybody, when you sit down or if you're at your computer right now, look that up real quick. That's really, really cool. What's the name of it again?
www.theandresecotourismcollective.com.
Okay, awesome.
It's a website that dedicated to that. And the last thing that they... Mm-hmm. When the project started, there was zero businesses. Now it's up to 130 businesses from accommodation, transportation, beauty, food stores, car rentals. So all different businesses on Andres are inclusive in their market to the world.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Jasmine, how do you have anything to add to the...
Well,
because I was so blown away, but Jasmine was just in here nodding, I know.
Mm-hmm. No, I did not know that for bird watching because I love to bird watch and I have done some bird watching on Andres, and I did not know that market was so lucrative. I was blown away. So.
Andres is beautiful. We all were in Andres this year for Brief, and we really, Andres has some really, really unique beauty. It is not. It's like people don't really know, right? People be unaware of it. But if you have a chance, if you're under the sound of my voice and you have an opportunity, go to Andres and experience nature. It is beautiful. See what the Ministry of Tourism has to offer and see if you can do some domestic tourism and travel to Andres and other islands that are doing these amazing things environmentally. Don't just leave it for the tourists to enjoy. We have to enjoy it too because, like Vernon said, we are the ones who have to present this to people when they visit our country. We have to be in the know about these very incredible things and ecosystems in our country. That's so amazing, Vernon. So another thing that I saw when I was on your website, Vernon, there is a award-winning initiative, right? That the Bahamas got under the Ministry of Tourism. That is the Destination Stewardship Council. So tell us about that and how that whole process happened.
So the Destination Stewardship Council is blowing up pretty fast, and I'm one of the focal person, me and my senior manager Janelle Campbell. So in the heart of COVID, the Ministry of Tourism trying to figure out how to kickstart the economy back safely, and why don't we create councils on these islands? So we partnership with Global Sustainable Tourism Council, GSTT, to establish the Bahamas Destination Stewardship Council, which inclusive tourism at all community levels. And if you didn't know, GSTT is a nonprofit organization responsible for promoting sustainable development. And the Destination Stewardship Council focus on the destination and create stakeholders. And they have four pillars. So it's sustainable management, social economic impact, cultural impact, and environmental impact. So up to this date, the Bahamas Destinations Tourism successfully trained 8 destinations with sustainable practice. Those destinations are Abaco, Andres, Bimini, Exuma, Eleuthera, Grand Bahama, Harbor Island. And currently we have 6 destination that fully formed with councils on the ground working as we speak. Some of the councils called the Abaco Starship Council. So the Abaco Starship Council, after Hurricane Dorian, you know, there are still some marine debris and stuff all over the place. Mm-hmm. So they focus on waste management and different projects, even school projects. And also you have the Cat Island Sustainable Tourism Council. So they focus on cultural heritage. So one of their project was focusing on the Healing Pond, which they because the salt content so high, you can actually float inside it. Wow. And one of our council members told us that she had arthritis in her leg, that when she went in the pond hopping, and she came with jumping.
So it's in Cat Island. Wow, what? That is so cool. I've seen something like, so I'm sorry. Yeah. Give me 1 second to explain my excitement. So I saw this salt pond online, and it was in some country somewhere, right? And the guy was in it, and they was like, it's impossible to drown because the density of salt was so high. And so the people were like going in it, they were just laying in it, floating in it. It's, you know, like almost like that walking on water experience, because you're not going anywhere from the top. But I had no idea we had something like that in the Bahamas,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do. And
Jasmine, you look like you're burning eyes.
No, I am so all for it that Bahamians should really go and travel to different islands, because salt ponds is a large part of our culture, especially back in the day when they used to do a lot of salt mining for, you know, industrial. That's how persons made a living. Mm. So, like, you know, growing up on the family island, the island I'm from, we had a salt pond. We used to play in the salt pond. But, you know, it's just so interesting to know that there's still a disconnect of Bahamians not knowing about what's available in the Bahamas. So.
And so I would say why probably many persons may not know, because the signage was a big problem. So each council that initiated a project, we gave them a small technical grant. But we now there's a signage up that's directly to the support point and give you instruction how to adhere to rules at the salt pond. Okay. So it's a big factor.
So in that same, you were talking about expanding your training with the same initiative to other islands, and you said you have basically all the northern islands are good to go.
So
right? Are we expanding to the south? What about the Mayaguana and San Salvador and the rest of those down there? Because
you're touching a lot. So the whole idea there is to expand to 16 islands. And I can't share, but one of the southern islands should be coming up.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, we got to wait for that one. The surprise reveal. You have to come back on the show for that one, Vernon.
So then you have like different councils, such as the Bimini Council. You believe Bimini is small. So they did their first marine debris. We had a ocean marine debris cleanup with our international partner, Ocean Aid 360. And in one day, in their first marine debris cleanup, they had over 100 participants, and they collect over 6,000 pounds on International Coastal Day. So that event, the Bimini, was a spinoff from Brylin. So called Brylin Sustainable Tourism Council, which is known as Harbor Island. You know, Harbor Island is a high-end where a lot of persons, like Taylor Swift and whoever else, the millions and the billionaires go there. So a course of a year and a half, so they were able to collect over 30,000 pounds of marine debris to make sort of the aesthetic appeal. And the good thing about that, that when we went back to different sites, there was no new debris on those spots. So that means that it's working and it's not accumulated. And the Lucha is focusing on a big aspect as well, because the roads are very long in the Lucha. It can be dark, so they focus on solar lights on it. So lighting up, we were able to donate a few solar lights where they could put in strategic areas where the roads can be lit at night, where there's no accident. And last but not least, Exoma. So Exoma focus on their cultural heritage, also the Pompeii and Stevenson GSL, where they are restoring that back to its normal, because it's a big part of their history. Like Pompeii was one of the slaves who was the first one who did a revolution against being enslaved. And lastly, not to gain so much, though, the Bahamas, this initiative gained international and regional attention by winning prestigious award from the Destination Starship Resilience Award from the Caribbean Tourism Organization. And in 2023, we also win the Caribbean Destination Resilience Award from the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association, CHTA.
Oh, wow. Everyone, a round of applause for that. Yay!
And sorry, not to stop, but each one of these organizations would be set up, we made sure that they become NGOs. So if you hear my voice and you want to contribute to this initiative, they can receive donors from local and international. So,
and where can they get, how can people who are listening get in touch with those initiatives? Where can they find that nonprofit?
So they can go to Bahamas.com, or they can reach out to myself, jcampbell@bahamas.com, Janelle Campbell, or myself, vreach@bahamas.com, and we will get them to the relevant persons if they really want to help with those initiatives on those islands.
And if they want to learn more about these initiatives, is there a website that they can go to and specifically find?
So the website is coming, but everything is hosted on bahamas.com, because that's our main page. So you will find some information about Destination Starship Council, because it's so much going on and it's such a big, large project. We want to make sure that everything and components in place before we launch a website or launch any information.
Official,
to
I understand that. So all this is so awesome. Great information, Vernon. You were excellent today. We are actually getting to the end of the show. And as we wind down, I'm going to ask everyone for your closing remarks, just briefly. A few words. Would you want to leave the listeners with? We'll start with Heather.
All right. On that note, I would just like to encourage all of our Bahamians to take advantage of the information given today. Sign up for the Ministry of Tourism, Investment, and Aviation's programs. Look into it and see what opportunities are available to you. And also rethink your summer destination this year. Look into traveling within the Bahamas and really exploring all the wonderful wonders we spoke about today.
I would like to leave everyone with this, that you have opportunities to go in. You may be a person who liked outdoors. Now there are career paths in the Bahamas and training initiatives to help you follow that path. Like for me, I love being outdoors, so I'm happy being the outreach officer at Brief and actually giving students and other organizations the opportunity to experience our natural resources. So if you like that, there are ways.
Awesome.
So I touched on Jasmine, what she just said. Like, for years and years, I started in the construction industry, the IT, and I know a little bit about sustainability, but I didn't know much. But after Hurricane Dorian, not happening during my master's, I feel like it is my passion. It is my passion. And like, I like to educate the younger generation, because I always tell a person, I'm getting a little bit career. You might can't see it yet, but you guys are the future. You need to understand and keep the Bahamas in the way that you met it. And if you're a tourism destination with 700 islands, 2,000 keys, and 16 is promoted, and you want us to be on top, you must do your part. Like, it's not easy. You could do simple stuff. If you see a can on the road, pick it up. If you want to travel with in-country, I know it might be expensive, but if you want a new iPhone, a new Android phone, we save up for it. So every destination is a unique experience, and you'll be mind-blown on what we have to offer with in-country.
That's so beautiful. So I'm going to leave with, yes, go on thebahamas.com. And go and look up all these opportunities that you can get involved with. Also, visit our website at brief.org. We have a lot of initiatives that students and teachers and the general public can get involved with. Anyone can get involved with and learn more about the environment. Also, follow us on our social media pages at Brief242, B-R-E-E-F 242, to learn more about sustainability and what we're doing in the Bahamas and how you can help, whether it's volunteering or donating or anything of the sort. Thank you so much, everyone. We will be here next week, same place, same time, on the Our Blue Bahamas podcast. Thank you so much.